If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, Equipment, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
All right, well, welcome to If Lands Could Kill. This is episode 3. I'm Knife City.
I'm a Quickness.
Reich.
Hot Sauce.
And what's going on? Wow, we actually made it to episode 3. Both of our previous episodes are on MTGcast and on YouTube. We got our Facebook up there still. We got some, you know, graphics and whatever up, so it's not just so boring.
You want to go ahead and give them the links so they know how to get to those?
I actually put the links in our second episode show notes, and I will put them in this notes of this episode when I put it on MTGcast. But I don't have the links in front of me, but just, you know, if you're on
Google.
Google If Lands Could Kill and shit will pop up. I'm sure you're familiar with the Googles. So fucking A, what's been going on this since we last podcast? What's up?
Oh man, it's not a lot of cracking for me. I just been kind of working, watching casts. Oh my god, I've been watching a lot of MTG online casts on Twitch TV. Fucking, I'm like sitting at work. I'm watching MJ, the Dark Mage. Dude, I love that guy.
Who?
He's Michael Jacobs. He was like a pro guy back in like the day. But now he was what did he do?
He was in the Community Cup.
Yeah, he's in the Community Cup, and like now he just does primarily like just draft, or he used to draft online, and now he just does standard. And he's really cool.
Standard modern.
The guy's really good, but I mean, I think some people don't. It's like a kind of a hit or miss for some people for that guy because he's kind of like abrasive.
Yeah,
like he's really he can be getting negative, but he's like. I feel like he wasn't, like, socialized a lot when he was younger, so he was probably just played, like, Magic all the time. So, like, now he's
called him out hardcore right now.
You know, I'm sure people know that. Just the way he acts and, like, you know, talks. But he's gotten a lot better.
Yeah. I kind of understand his attitude, though, because, like, he's been playing Magic for a long time. And when you have, on average, 2,000 to 4,000 people daily sitting there, they don't know as much as he does. And they're trying to tell him what to do. And he's like... No, that doesn't work.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and he'll tell you straight up, no, you know, that card's completely unplayable, it doesn't work. And people misunderstand that, saying like, oh, he says this card's not playable at all, but when they don't understand is what context he's trying to say it in.
For that deck, whatever
he's
trying to show
exactly.
Off that
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, people just misunderstand him, I think, a lot, and he doesn't go, like, try to explain himself.
Yeah, he just brushes them off. So, but, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. Cause, I mean, they, a lot of people trying to backseat game him, like, saying, like, oh, you should have made this play instead of this play, but he already knows his mind, like, okay, like, yeah, I could have made this play, but then, you know, something would happen.
He knows better.
He knows the game well enough that he doesn't need anyone kind of telling him, like, backseat gaming him how to play. I mean, I'm sure if someone did that every fucking day, it'd be just get so annoying. But, I mean...
I'm gonna go send an email to Elon Musk and tell him he's fucking it up.
Yeah,
he can make
up.
Double what he's making right now. $1 billion a year is bullshit. You make $2 billion, you just gotta listen to me.
Yeah, you just fucking dot some I's and cross some T's and bam!
Exactly.
Double your profits. But, no, that's what I've been doing a lot at work. You know, I'm supposed to be working, but I'm watching fucking, you know, Magic the Gathering kill.
That's like what we all do. We all have jobs that we work sometimes, but we normally just sit and play on our phones or whatever else.
Well, I work, but it's just like, you know, it's fucking you can only push so much paper, like, so many days and just deal with so much shit that you just want to take, like, you know, like 20 minutes and just watch some stream for a little while or, you know, I'll watch it a lot during lunch.
Yeah. All right, guys. Speaking of work, I have exciting news.
Oh, yeah.
Got a new fucking job.
All right.
Guess what the hours are? 9 to 3:30. Who's going to Friday Night Magic?
Wait, Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday.
Oh shit!
Yeah, hell yeah.
So,
nice.
If we all can, I'm not sure if you know Hot Sauce will be able to, but I think it's the 21st or whatever that Friday is. I would like to do a celebratory Friday Night Magic. I'm thinking up at
San Diego Games Comics.
Yeah, San Diego Games and Comics because they go like real late.
Yeah.
They
added a bunch of new stuff there too. It looks really good.
I'll tell you right now that Fridays are, unless the whole weekend gets canceled, I'm guaranteed to work 6 p.m. till 2 a.m.
That's late.
Every Friday.
That's no matter what.
Well, both.
But Saturdays and Sundays are flexible. Like, I got the whole weekend off this weekend because I just requested it. They said, you want to work? And I said, I don't have to. I'm not working. So
are we gonna, next week, next Friday, we're going to try to make
not this coming Friday, but the Friday after.
We're going to actually go to play some draft with some other people besides us.
Yeah, some real people.
Some actual people that play Magic that are better than us.
Actual in-life four-person draft, or eight-person draft.
Yeah, I don't know, we did a draft at the PTQ.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
You know, I just want to say that I kind of won that one.
By
a lot. I don't even think I dropped the game. I think I won them all.
I didn't want to rat you out, but I did see you, you know, taking cards out of your standard deck and putting them in.
Wait, what's this Ravnica card doing again? Hold on.
Elspeth?
I didn't think fucking Divine Verdict was in this draft. Yeah, four of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, though. I'm glad that you're fucking doing a Monday through Friday now.
Yeah, actually making $4.50 more than I am now, so I am stoked. What that means? More Magic cards.
Exactly. That number doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's going to be...
According to my girlfriend, I'm still making the same amount because of that extra $4.50 an hour going to Magic.
This is gravy on top.
Yeah. But I also wanted to say that I don't usually, get into a bunch of new games or, you know, whether it be PC or Xbox or whatever. I'm not usually... I mean, I get Game Informer now, but I'm never, current. So I downloaded, allegedly, the hacked copy of South Park Stick of Truth.
It's pretty good.
And so my buddy told me about it, and he was like, it's like a South Park episode mixed with... Paper Mario or
RPG of some kind.
Yeah, it's a turn-based RPG.
Yeah.
And that's seriously what it is. A turn-based RPG inside of a South Park episode.
That's awesome.
And I played maybe a half an hour of it so far, and I think it would be a lot better for console. Because something feels awkward about using the WADs, because it's
you're just not used to it.
Well, it's a very,
linear.
Linear, it's
like a 2D, because it's all, South Park's 2D.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like a 3D space. You're just going left and right.
360 controllers on the PC.
Well, I don't have a 360 controller. Thanks for bringing it up. Actually, I could probably just use the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Because I have
Connect. Plug that thing in, get a driver for it. Or 360 controllers, they're $10 a GTM for used ones.
Yeah. Or you can get one of those fucking broke-ass Logitech ones for $5 at Walmart. And they still
I do have the wireless dongle for the wireless 360
dongle.
One.
Do you
dongle,
know?
Dongle.
I love that. Ooh. I love that word, by the way, dongle.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite tech word.
That's actually the new name for my penis now, is dongle.
Dongle smash.
The hanging dongle?
Yeah, dongle smash! This dongle has three ports. Anyways,
that's kind of cool. I've actually seen that game on Twitch, and it just looks like it looks like a South Park episode. If I didn't know it was a game, if the game elements didn't come into play or whatever, I was just watching another South Park
episode. Yeah,
exactly. The humor's all there.
I definitely laughed, when I was playing it. Not, knee-slapping laughs, but I definitely chuckled a bunch at just
I think that's a good game to just watch and not play. If you just sit back and someone else is playing and just chilling out with your buddies or whatever, just watching it, I think that's probably a good one. Because it's the humor's there and all that stuff.
Is there multiplayer?
I don't think so.
Is it beneficial for me to get it on PC or should I just get it on console?
I
don't think it's multiplayer.
Okay. I don't know how they work that in.
But there's just some funny stuff.
That's
commentary and stuff in there. So I was very excited to get it. But I'm not about to pay $60. Fucking South Park RPG.
I have not paid full price for a game in forever. Thank you, Gaben, for Steam.
Seriously.
I haven't paid full price on any games anymore.
So I have a question. So a game that you bought retail, let's say a standard game, obviously goes for around $60. What was the last game you bought at that price point that was a really good game that actually you keep playing? Because I've been noticing recently, all the games that I consistently play over and over and over again are usually free or really cheap games. There's not a game that I spent $60 on that I continuously go back to.
A lot of free-to-play games and stuff?
Yeah. So, I have Mass Effect. Mass Effect's one of my, favorite games ever. I played it, once or twice, and then,
exactly.
That was pretty much it.
That reminds me of, Diablo 3, where I bought it. And I played through it, and I'm that's the end of that game.
Yeah, exactly.
Or there's a lot of games that, but that's just a recent one where I paid $60, even though I could have waited or something else, and I just jumped on, and it just didn't,
Yeah, and then I play League of Legends, which is a free-to-play game, and I've been playing that thing for, two and a half years, pretty consistently.
Yeah.
So
to answer your question, Halo 4.
Halo 4?
Mine would definitely be Skyrim. I've put so many hours into Skyrim. Is that so many playthroughs?
I didn't even know that.
Well, the only reason I put, say if I bought it, well, I did buy it on the Xbox for my wife to play through, which she still hasn't beaten yet. I'm pissed off about that. She's like so close. She's like maybe 2 hours away from beating it, and she stopped playing it. But Skyrim on the PC is probably the game I paid $60 for on the PC, the only game that I pretty much paid that much for at this time that I've gotten so much value out of. Just because, like, you play through it vanilla, right, all the way through, and then all, like, you know, come back a year later and there's all these mods and stuff for it. There's this crazy amount of content.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you play that. You literally, I could be playing Skyrim right now and not be bored. I could have been playing it for, like, the past, you know, 2-3 years, and there'd still be new content you just download, which is amazing.
I heard about arrows in the knee. I heard that.
Oh, yeah, arrows in the knee.
Arrows in the knees, right? And horses going downhill.
Someone's stealing your sweet roll and all that stuff. Yeah, that happens. But, yeah, Skyrim for me is my number one game that I've paid $60 for, and I've not regretted ever paying that much. I'd pay, like, twice that amount for that game. I'm just a huge fucking shield for it.
Titanfall is multiplayer only. That will be the next.
Is that they're going to pay charge for that? It's not free to play?
Titanfall?
Yeah.
Titanfall is $60.
Oh, yeah. I'll buy it.
Is a standard.
I've seen some gameplay, and it looks fucking tits. So.
It plays like tits. Play like tits.
Play like tits.
Tits. I'm just going to repeat this tits.
I don't even really know, like, the last game that I was like, that was well worth $60. Like, the Call of Duty Ghosts for the Xbox One, like, it's a good game. It's not a $60 worth game. And if you want the, like, additional maps, you have to pay another $60 for, like, all the additional maps and shit.
Fucking
I'm like,
cash cow, though.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck that.
So you're saying the last game you paid $60 for you enjoyed was Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
never even beat that.
Oh, never even.
I leave this table. I became the teenager or whatever, young adult, and I played another 5 hours, and that's it. I never got to the boss.
All I gotta say is fuck the water temple, okay?
I think that's universally known.
Yes. I'm actually going to get a tattoo that says fuck the water
temple. Fuck the water temple. Everyone will be like, bro. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I'm right there with you.
You should get the same tattoo that, like, Deadmau5 has, but have it have no life left in it.
It's always dead.
Like zombie.
It's filled with water.
Drowning.
Well, let's stick with this. I want to stay with this real quick. What game did you pay full price for that was a complete failure to you that you didn't enjoy? Like, maybe you played like an hour of them. You're like, this is. If anyone's ever done that, like, bought a game and then, or returned it like right away, or just
I know,
like,
I know
just
I've
fucking
done that.
F this game. Like, I'm never going to play it again. Like, for me, it would be, I recently bought, it came out, like, I don't know, was it last year or like, back in December, X3 Rebirth, which is, like, I don't know if you guys saw me playing on my stream, like, a while ago. It's like a space game, but it was, like, the other X3 games, they're all, like, the super intense, like, crazy space games, because I like the fucking games that takes, like, 10 hours to even, like, learn how to do one thing in it.
Yeah.
But this game was just so dumbed down. Like, they were saying, like, oh, no, it's not for consoles. It's not, you know, a console port. Like, oh, it's going to be good. It's going to just be like the other ones, except all this upgraded graphics. I mean, they did do a good job on the graphics and everything, but the whole game was just awful. Like, broken right from the beginning. And I fucking pre-ordered it the day it came on the Steam. I was, like, so stoked. I'm, like, getting behind this game. I'm waiting for, like, years for this game.
Did you know when
it... Wait, like, 2 hours. That was it.
But did you know, like, when it came out that you were going to get a shit game? Or did you still...
No, I pre-ordered it before even anyone, like, all the media, the embargoes were out.
But, you know? I mean, as it was getting to release date, were you realizing this game was going to be shit?
No, because the way they hyped it up, like, they never showed, like, gameplay. That's probably my first telltale sign that I should have, like, maybe not have pre-ordered or whatever. But they didn't show any, like, really good gameplay. I think they had something at, like, E3, like a little demo. It was like super guided demo.
Shit, dude.
Where they show you what you want to see or whatever. But yeah, I know it was completely blindsided. Like, I knew maybe been a little rough around the edges just because the guys that made it were like a European company that's really small and, like, you know, they don't have a lot of funding like AAA games. But I just fucking played 2 hours that I couldn't play any more than that. I was like, it was just too much. Like, maybe I'll come back in like 2 years from now.
No, you won't.
It'll be fixed, but I don't know. I wanted it to be so good so hard, and I went completely flaccid.
So good so hard.
I have no words, but SimCity, that's it.
The PC,
the new PC,
the reboot.
SimCity, yeah, the reboot.
SimCity, yeah.
I played maybe 15 hours into it, and I was just meh the whole time. You know, I was thinking I'd really get into it and all that stuff, but I just played like the same simple strategy I always do, and nothing was exciting, and so that was $60 wasted, in my opinion.
But yeah,
magic!
What about that magic?
Let's talk about some magic. What the fuck do we have to talk about in magic?
I think we're going to talk about a little bit what we're doing with the Lands Could Kill.
Oh,
So, well, yeah, this is a podcast about magic.
Yeah, this is a podcast strictly about magic.
Well, not strictly.
And we, yeah.
I say it loosely, if I were to give it a term.
Yeah, that was sarcasm in there. The ilk, you know, what are we doing with ilk?
Yeah, I know we have our YouTube out, right? And we got our Facebook going. I think, do we have a Twitter yet?
I have a Twitter.
A tweet.
I don't think we put together a website like Twitter account.
But we do have other things we want to do with what we do have now. We're going to expand website. We're going to expand Twitter. We're going to grow in that way, the social media way. But what's good is that without content? So we are going to start putting up the decks we brew and the decks that we've proven and make a bunch of versus series out of it.
A video series.
Top-down view, like kind of what you've seen before. Maybe a little more funny than before and not have a damn announcer just talking over and speculating 1,000 fucking words.
Yeah.
Have that, have deck techs on just simple home brews that are not going to win you anything on Friday. Yeah, complete trash. But can you use stuff that is left over from all the drafts and everything we do? You know, why is this common going to be so good? You know, what can untap this and all this funky stuff? It sounds like a great combo, but no one's going to use it because it's not more powerful than what's been proven. Well, fuck that. We're going to play with
it.
We're going to force it to work.
We're going
to
shove that circle in the fucking square hole.
Yeah, I'm going to get that mob, Asmodat, just fucking build a deck around that shit.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
Exactly. And then we're going to face a mono black deck and get one win and be like, see, mine's better.
Yeah.
one,
not even a match win, just one game win.
Yeah, one game win.
You lose
he
match,
was
you
stuck on two
win.
Mana for five turns.
It works.
Anything else, though? We got the verses. We're going to be coming out. We're going to have that every week.
Yeah, and then, you know, hopefully we'll be getting a website here. I mean, we're still kind of doing this on the fly.
Yeah.
It's not really a well-thought-out plan, but we do want a website so we can put our videos on there, you know, and eventually, you know, get merch and, you know, like that
merch.
Stuff. Mm-hmm. Them merch.
I want to create, like, a some content solely for beginners.
Hmm.
So say you just got into magic, you happen to hear our podcast because, you know, we cater more towards beginners and novices and stuff like that. I wanted to do it so, like, you have somebody who's brand new into magic. What do they do? Do they go buy an intro pack? Do they go crack open boosters and do what they want? Should they buy singles? Maybe what formats would be better geared towards beginners to help building their collection and start learning some.
Yeah, you know, where's the value at when you first start out?
Yeah,
don't be like us and just like throw money away and then realize oh wait a minute, I should have probably not done that. I could have, you know, done something better.
Yeah, so I want to create some series where like people can just go to and they automatically know like the best route to take.
Yeah.
If they don't want to, you know, go through and stumble in the dark themselves to figure everything out.
That sounds good.
One clear, concise way. Say you go this route, you can go this route. Each give you different benefits, and then, you know, you can ultimately decide yourself which way you want to go.
What do we say for this week, then? We're going to give some tips to the new listener, new player.
Okay, so
buy singles if you're going to go into standard.
Well, so we're talking about somebody who does not know anything about magic, or they know
they have an idea of what the game's about, but they don't know how to go about jumping into the world of magic.
Okay, well, let's just each give a suggestion since we didn't really think this out before we started.
Now we do this on the fly. How we roll up in here.
Yeah, it's all written down, scripted. I would say download Duels of the Planeswalker.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Especially to learn the mechanics. That's a really good idea.
That helped me out a lot. You know, just being fresh.
And mine would be just definitely get an intro pack. That's why they're there. You know, Wizards puts them out for a reason.
What kind of intro pack?
One of the just go out there and look at the intro packs. See what's like. Ask whoever's doing the store, like, what's the newest, you know, intro packs that just came out for that set or whatever, and just buy one of those and kind of definitely check out the Duels of the Planeswalkers just to learn how the mechanics of the game goes, and then, you know, just get a buddy, both of you go and buy an intro pack and just play with that for a little while and see, you know, get the feel of the game, how, you know, you play the cards in real life, and then if you want to pursue from there and play standard, I'd probably say just, you know, buy singles.
And then you should...
You want to be competitive.
I suggest whoever makes a deck that they switch with their buddy and play versus their deck. you know, get familiar with all of the, what you haven't built. You're going to have a lot of
different
cards.
Mechanics and stuff,
you don't have all those cards, and you're not going to be able to just, you wouldn't want to throw a bunch of money and just buy a place out of everything. So if you can get a friend or even someone else you can find at your local store, to you can play their deck and they can play yours or whatever and see how that works out. Win or lose, no big deal.
Yeah, because you tend to have like a favorite style or favorite color when you first start, and you kind of stick to that because, you know, it feels safer, whatever. And but it is good to, like, you know, if you're only playing red, maybe switch with a white,
right,
you know, deck. If your buddy likes white and you like red, you know, switch it up just to see how the other side plays and the mechanics and the feel and everything.
Yeah, and definitely use all the resources available to you, like either the, you know, brick and mortar, you go on, like anyone I'm sure at a magic shop will be more than willing to help you out and kind of understand the game, and then the internet. Like,
people get excited. Players,
listen,
you know,
to as many podcasts as you can.
Yeah.
That's how I learned a lot of shit, is listen to some, you know, podcasts.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts do different, they focus on different things.
Yeah.
We're trying to do just for who's probably listening is a novice, and that's pretty much what we're trying to go for. And then maybe later on we can have keep this one going and have you know, another podcast going for more advanced or something like that. Who knows? Who knows where it's going to go?
Yeah, but just there's a lot of sources out there, so just, you know, pull from all sources. It's gonna.
But definitely listen to us first.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere else.
Send us money.
Listen to us and then go as well.
One thing that I've started thinking about, and I think would be awesome for a beginner. It's what I'm seeing more and more of, is go buy a dual deck. The newest one that's coming out is Jace vs. Raska. You know, they're kind of set up in a way where they're evenly matched. Not one deck's more powerful than the other. And one of the things I've been seeing is that a lot of cards in the dual decks, not all of them are standard legal, but you usually get like four or five really good standard legal cards that are in like tier one decks. And that could be a platform to jump into that deck. You only have to buy a couple more cards to complete it. And then now you have a tier one deck you can play in standard after you get your grounding, you know, your footing inside the Magic community.
I also heard they're a good value, where if you were worried about the financial part of it, that a lot of those cards in those decks are worth money.
Yes.
Where the intro pack is just going to be an intro pack. It's not going to be a way to sell off cards when you're done with them or this and that. But I've heard the dual packs, you're going to get three or four cards that can pay back half of that price or something.
So like
that.
The Jace versus Raska one, you know, Jace right now currently is around $15-$20. When the dual deck comes out, it is going to lower it because you're going to have more
Market flooded.
The market's going to get a little bit more flooded. There is the one thing where the older versions will rise a little bit than the dual deck ones because, you know, they're older. There's not so many of them. More people kind of like the older ones to begin with. But yeah, like Hot Sauce was saying, I think it's a perfect investment for a beginner Magic player because they get the value. You know, you get a kind of a platform to jump into standard. And it's a great way to learn because the decks are fairly evenly matched together, so you don't just get blown out every single time you play.
Yeah, that's a good money investment because, like, you don't want to go out and be like, oh, I want to play Magic for the first time. I'm going to go invest. Like, oh, I read this on the internet. This guy told me to buy all these, like, $300 worth of cards, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, people, I mean, sure, people would do if they have their disposable income, they might do that. But it's, like, it's a good way to, like, not take that money commitment and actually just enjoy the game.
Yeah, if you buy it and you end up not liking Magic, you can usually get your money back.
Yeah.
And then you can be done with it. You know, you never have to do anything. Like, obviously, we hope that you don't do that. You know, we all feel that Magic is a game that if you do get interested and you get into it, that you're pretty much going to be hooked. I mean, that's how I got hooked. I started playing it once, and then I was like, wow, this is it's amazing. Yeah,
you were sidekick for Magic cards?
So, I mean, that's my one tip that, like, if I could start over again and do it, I would definitely get a dual deck first, and then that way I know I have a good basis, you know, for everything.
Yeah, I would have bought up all the Tarmogoyfs. Voice. All of them.
Right?
Well, that was a good segue into. So,
awful sealed that we had.
If you remember from our last episode where we currently left off, we did a sealed draft or whatever you call it.
Sealed draft.
Sealed pool, sealed Swiss.
Sealed.
Sealed fucking seals.
We cracked open six packs of fucking Magic cards.
Yeah, we did a very.
Mishmashed it all together.
We did a very unique sealed where we each opened a. The pool in the sealed was every pack of the current standard. So, Return to Ravnica, Gatecrash, Dragon's Maze, M14, Theros, and Born of the Gods. And then, you know, we made a 40-card deck by opening those packs. And why don't we talk a little bit about what happened?
My shit was awful. I lost. I went 0-4. Didn't win a single game.
What'd you build? I forget.
Didn't you win a single match?
I went 0-4, so that was awful. I think I did. I was still thinking in like Theros mode. Like I was like, oh, I'm gonna take this white flyer heroic. Like I'm just gonna bestow all this shit on this and be like, oh, I'm amazing. And then it wants this like shit on me. Like, no, that's not how that works in this. Like, I didn't pack, the only good cards I ripped in Mythics, I had, World Spire Worm, which was, like, completely unplayable.
Yeah, it's unplayable.
You should have done it.
I had the Chromatic Core, which I don't know why. If I would have played the Chromatic Core, I would have won. I would have just destroyed everyone.
Let me interject. Last podcast, you said, if I pull a Chromatic Core, I'm going to play it in draft.
Did I? I lied.
You said
that. Oh, liar.
I always knew it again, and I said that motherfucker.
I didn't lie. It wasn't a draft. It was a seal.
10 lashes.
It was a seal.
10 lashes.
But, I pulled Chromatic Core. I should have played it in hindsight. I should have just stuck to my guns. But, and then I, what was it, fucking Prime Speaker Zagana, which is it's a blue-green, I think.
Yeah, you pulled some decent cards, but the colors
I had were just like, I had awful blue, I had awful red, I had like maybe okay black, and everything else was going to be green white is what I played, and I just got pooped on. It was good. It was a hot, steamy pile on my chest, so the whole game.
That's hot.
Who came in third? I didn't really keep track of like standings.
Was it me?
Yeah, I think it was Justin.
Oh, okay.
I know I wasn't.
Jace won.
What was that last game? Because me and Brent were playing. No, don't say that. Me and Ryan were playing. And then you two were playing. Who won between you two?
I did.
Yeah.
You did. Quickness won, yeah.
And
so.
then you beat him.
Yeah.
I was probably third.
So,
you were third. Yeah.
So okay. Nice City was third.
So I made a Jund deck, which.
You want to tell them what color?
Yeah, I was just about to do that. I was going to say that, when I listen to the podcast, and they still to this day, I'm like, what the fuck is Naya? Like, I forget which colors that is.
Yeah.
It's because of, you know, a block back in the day that was like a color combination was called Jund, and it was red, black, green. And so Shards of Alara, I think, was the block or expansion or whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyways, go look it up. Google it.
Bing it.
Fucking dogpile that shit, dude. You guys remember dogpile?
Ask Jeeves that, though.
Ask Jeeves.
And then you type in the question with the question mark at the end, like, it matters.
Like, hold on, let me pull up my Netscape.
What was?
Yeah, let me look at Encarta 98.
Yeah, hold on.
So,
where the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Dude, you won't be able to find her to ask her the question.
Carmen! What the fuck is Jund? Where are you? So many questions.
Must be Archer.
Lana!
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Continue.
So I don't even really remember like what great cards I had. I remember I had that that alligator from Return to Ravnica where you pay a black and two to make it have lifelink. I remember that being like a key.
That was a beast in that
game. Gator.
I didn't even know there was a gator.
Yep.
Alligator.
There's actually quite a few gator cards.
Gator golf.
The World of Magic.
What?
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's why I got it.
That's my next tribal. Right?
What could be better than life as a gator? Gator golf.
But as in traditional fashion, I did pull some money cards. I pulled Garrick, Caller of the Beasts.
You son of a beach.
And Brimas.
Oh,
Brimas, King of Oreos.
Brimas the fucker.
King of the catboards.
And I didn't even play him because all the rest of the white cards fucking sucked. Butthole.
And he's double white, right?
So and he's double white, so there's not even worth splashing.
Splashing means where you bring in, you know, a couple
splashing
of that
is,
color.
Yeah, where you... It's,
so they're not your main colors. You bring
in,
like,
one off color. You
have one or two of those cards. But I'll talk about it later, but I sent in the Garrick and the Brimas for cards I actually want to fucking play. So who came in second?
I did. Quickness came in second. I played a four-color good stuff deck, pretty much. I played every color besides red. My pool was, like, bad. It was just bad. It was one of those, like, I had, like, three or four playables in every color, so I just, like, I was like, fuck it, I'm putting them all together, and I don't care if my mana base is terrible, it's, you know, gonna suck anyways. But that was the one thing that surprised me. I always drew all the lands I needed for every color, and I was surprised I went second. Like, you know, my best cards were, like, I forget, it was the Kingpin's Lynch or something like that. It's one white and a black. It's a 2/2 flyer with extort. Like, it's nothing special, but all of a sudden, like, I'm riding, you know, that guy to victory, and, like, I'm winning games off of it.
Everyone chose extort, dude.
Yeah,
extort was a big deal. I totally forgot about that.
Like, extort was, like, the main thing, which is, like, probably one of the best mechanics besides, I think, bestow in a limited format is extort, just because, you know,
guaranteed, man.
You drain one life, you gain one life. It's kind of like a little buffer to give you that extra time to deploy all your threats and handle what they want
to
do.
I love being able to use the mana you have left over. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's great.
It's very mana efficient. You know, it allows you to tap out every single turn, and that's what you really want to do.
What is extort? Or did you already explain that?
Extort is whenever you cast the spell.
So it could be a creature spell.
Not a land, though.
Yeah, not a land. You know, you don't cast lands, you play lands. But whenever you do, you can play a white or a black. And if you do, opponents lose one life, and you gain life for each life that was lost that turn, or that way. So that's pretty much extort, which, I mean, you have four mana, you play a three mana spell, then you can start from one, you tapped out, you got a threat on the board, plus you gain some life, and you know, you're taking them down to zero that way. So it's awesome.
It's good mechanic.
Exactly. No, I didn't really, like, the biggest money cards I pulled out of my sealed pool was Temple of Enlightenment. I mean, obviously.
Relevant.
Which is a Skyland.
It's probably, like, I think it is the most impactful card in that came out of Born of the Gods. It sees the most amount of play in Standard. You know, it made all the blue-white decks just that much better because they needed a second dual land source for blue-white. That wasn't a gate, you know, so that really helped out. And I pulled Bioblight, just another Born of the Gods card. It's not
great card, though, for limited.
It is great. I mean, I agree. It's great, especially when you have a lot of three-powered or three-toughness creatures on the board. You know, when you're playing, like, mono-blue, like Night Vale Specter or, you know, just any devotion-type strategy because they want to deploy a lot of threats, and usually they're a lot of the same ones. So you can take them all out. Gives, you know, Bioblights, black, target creature gets -3/-3, and every other creature with the same name as well. So it's pretty awesome. You can kind of get blown out if you're going after heroic creatures. So you do have to kind of watch out when you play it. But yeah, that's pretty much my pool. Four color good stuff, pretty much.
Yeah, so I took the gold, the victory. But it wasn't like, I didn't get any great cards. I got nothing of any value, but the thing is, it all had good synergy. When I open up a pack, I'm like, everything was just going for the same strategy. So I ended up being a life gain, life loss for my opponent deck. Just everything was lifelink. I pulled a Sanguine Bond, so if I extorted, I get to do 2 damage while gaining 1. I had regenerating creatures. I had a ton of removal.
Your deck was
so
bonkers. Bonkers good.
It was good. It was good for limited because you guys would only have, you know, 2 bombs, and I had more removal than that. And then I had extort to just sit back on.
Yeah.
So I would just hit you guys for 2, and it would take, you know, we would go through like 15 turns or something like that. But it was just like I'm playing a control almost, where you know. So it was really cool. But I don't know. It's like it reminds me of like Assemble the Legion, where I'm just kind of waiting.
It's inevitability.
I'm just picking you off a little bit each time, and if you're not doing anything about it, then that's the end of that.
Yeah, it's inevitability. You have to deal with it, or you're eventually going to die.
And you guys did not play that much removal.
No,
I will say that right now.
I didn't pull that much removal in mine.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I say if we do another sealed, I don't want to do the fucking mosh posh of all the descent against. this is like, I think sets are like built to like be played like in that block. I don't.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's why it was fun, because it wasn't necessarily built to be played that way.
Yeah,
and I like all that.
Did it anyway.
That was interesting.
So I did pull a Night Vale Spectre, which is my money card, and that didn't do really anything in this game. I mean, it could have. I was trying to use it to get card advantage, but people had flyers, so they had, or reach or something like that, you know. There's like a reach, that's like a 2/4 or 1/3 or something like that. I think on the board, and I'm just like, what do I do now? Something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, every core set.
Yeah, so I'm just like, son of a bitch, what am I going to do? So there's that, and I have the, what is it? It's not the Orzhov Guildmate, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like the Guild Mage.
Guild Mage?
Yeah, the one that you can give everyone leads.
It's not Orzhov, though. It's like V, it starts with a V.
It's not called the
Viscopian Guild Mage or something like that?
Yeah, so whatever.
It's the Guild Mage in the Orzhov colors.
Yeah, it's a white-black, exactly. And you pay 3, and you get to give a target creature a lifelink, and then you get to pay, if you can pay 3 more, then whenever you gain life, they lose life. So I could, like, if I could sit on the board long enough, I could sap them for double, you know. I could just give lifelink to like a 2 creature and sap them for 4.
That was
awesome.
That was pretty much like your win con.
Right.
You had a very combo-y deck.
Very combo. Everything was, I just pulled the right cards. Even though there weren't money, everything was the same. Like, yes.
Very synergistic.
Yes, super synergy. And then I had the Fated, what is it, Intervention?
Fated Return.
Return. Oh, no, yeah. Not Return. Was it Return?
It was the black one. Which
yeah.
Is,
yeah. Fated is Return. Return? Okay.
Fated
so,
Retribution
is
the white story.
Right. So anyways, I would bring back my Guild Mage. Indestructible, so then it would just stay there.
Oh, like, I kill him, and I would just, like, he comes back.
Yeah, I would just keep using that combo. So it would be that and the Sanguine Bond, and then the other cards were just filler, chump block, whatever I could do. But
you just want to play something so you can extort. You don't really care what it is.
Right.
You just play something, you extort,
I had no creatures with 3 power. I had everything was 2 or less.
Yeah.
But whatever, you know.
Yeah, it works out.
Stay alive.
It can work. It's just obnoxious as hell.
Yeah.
Don't you touch that card. Don't you fucking
touch it.
That's why I put your phone.
I am laughing at myself right now, like.
So, yeah, that was, I mean, I enjoyed doing that sealed. I kind of like doing, like, I haven't seen anybody else do that, like, online or at a shop or anything. So I thought it was cool that we did kind of something out of the norm.
Yeah, just for fun. So do we suggest someone should do it?
I recommend.
Yeah, I mean,
for new players, is that good or no?
I think it's a really
that's a lot to take in at one
there's
time.
There's a lot of mechanics. There's a lot of keywords. There's a lot of, like,
you'd be looking up a lot of shit.
For a new player, I think you should just stick what's most relevant right now.
Which
so
is
you
Double Theros Born.
Double Theros Born. Just so you know, you start in around this time. Theros Born of the Gods. You start learning, and when you get into those cards, you start playing them a lot. And they're going to be around for a while.
I would suggest
Ravnica and stuff like that is about to go out. You don't really want to, like, learn too much of those cards because, you know, you're not going to really play them for that long unless you go into, like, Modern. And as a new player, I suggest staying out of Modern.
Well, I think just stay out of drafting if you're, like, super new. Like, if you're kind of comfortable, if you've been around for a couple months and you want to get into drafting, then sure, get into drafting. But if you're, like, just starting out, like, just stick with Constructed Standard. Mm-hmm. Like, build your own decks, have your friends help you, have the people at your local
until you understand
help you.
What's out.
Yeah,
drafting's like some intimidating thing. It's not really that intimidating. You just need to know the mechanics, and like, you have to have a grasp of the game to be able to.
And just understanding
really
the power level of cards too is something we're still learning. You know, like, we're still learning how to evaluate cards and everything.
Speak for yourself.
I know, right? Exactly. I'm a master here.
But yeah, I mean, if you have, like, a lot of money and money's really not an issue for you, then, you know, go ahead and draft. If it's something that, like, really interests you, you do a draft, you really like it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I will have to say,
if you're a new player, stay away from drafting if you do not have a lot of money to throw away.
Yeah, because you can sink a lot of money into
it. It is the worst value you can get. Pretty much the best value you can get is obviously buying singles. You know,
TCG player, man, cheapest singles there are.
You know, buying singles just to get in the standard. You know, you can make casual decks and things like that. But for limited, you know, if you have money to spend, I suggest at least giving it a shot.
I say probably just play it, like, you know, get familiar with Magic for like a month, maybe two. Just playing the Born of the Gods and just, you know, maybe an intro deck and just kind of look up, do some research with the cards and then maybe look up some, like, drafting stuff. And then if you feel comfortable, then go ahead and, you know, sign up for a draft.
And fuck, dude, listen to limited resources. You know,
they're awesome for that.
That's how I learned shit how to draft. and some of the stuff applied to constructed as well.
Yeah.
Like I learned.
They talk about mana bases.
Yeah, mana bases totally fucking helps.
They talk about like correct sequencing. So there's, you know, you can play cards and you can be like, I want to play these cards this turn, and you can play them. But you can play them incorrectly, even though those two cards are correct to play for that turn. You know, you want to play things in a correct order where they help benefit each other, or you deal with something that, you know, you're going to play another card that one of your opponent's cards can counter it or something like that. So you want to deal with that card first before you play anything else.
Yeah, if you want, like, straight knowledge and little to no laughing, listen to Limited Resources. They're great guys, and, like, I learned so much
it's
from
the
them.
It's the NPR of magic.
Yeah, it kind of is. They make kind of, like, old... Don't touch that card.
Process resources.
You guys are my true friends. Yeah. We'll stop.
They kind of make, like, you know, old man lame jokes or whatever. But, you know, I mean, that's their niche, you know. They're there for information. If you want to get if you want to learn some stuff but laugh a lot, listen to us. If you want to just laugh and learn little to no magic, listen to Heavy Meta.
Shots fired. Dude, they argue all the time. I'm like, just fucking one person at a time, please.
No, it's fun, but it's
I love listening to them.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
And 18. Anyways, enough plugging up.
Okay,
the
one more thing about the new player stuff is buy a deck builder.
Oh yeah, deck builder is cool for
deck
the core set.
Oh
yeah,
yeah. Core set deck builder.
Yeah,
that's a simple $20, and it's going to give you a lot of stuff. And I think that's in a way, I just think that's really important.
I think the amount of cards you're going to get and be able to choose and play with is good. But I mean, you're not. You're not going to get a tier one top level.
I don't only buy it once. Only buy it as a new player, and after you buy the first one, never buy it again.
Yeah.
Buy it the first month you're playing or 2 weeks you're playing. Gives you like, what are these cards? What I don't even know what block they're from because the symbols are confusing.
And it does have the little insert on how to build a deck. I've never read it myself, but I'm sure it gives some sort of knowledge.
Just be careful because I remember with the M14 deck builders kit, it included packs of. M2013. So there are cards that weren't legal anymore.
Yeah.
So just be careful with that. It's going to include some, you know, older stuff. You know, you could go that route.
And it gives you a bunch of lands.
Yeah.
The lands are good. It gives you like 80 of each land or something like that. Or
I think
40, 20. Or 20 is it 20 of each?
20, I think so. Yeah.
But still, like, a good amount. That was like a big deal when I first got into Magic. How the fuck am I supposed to get lands? Like,
I was like,
I have to buy a fat pack? That's $40? What the fuck? You know, like.
Now we have too many lands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Like, I remember when we started playing, like, oh shit, like, I gotta buy lands? I gotta pay like 10 cents per land or something? Like, online?
That's so dumb. Don't do that.
You're like, don't do that.
Do not buy lands ever that are basic. Do buy every other kind of land.
You will eventually have enough and just hold out.
You'll have
just
too much.
Like, go to the store, like, and just ask somebody that's just playing Magic and they'll fucking just make it rain lands on you.
Yeah.
Everyone has too many.
Basic lands, sir. Do you have any extra basic lands? May I have another?
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on. What do we got?
I think we're gonna play our card game. I want to do that on the...
This is for the card game.
You want to do the card game?
Yes,
the card
game.
Okay, so... whose idea was this?
I don't know.
Was it yours?
Let's just say it.
Okay, it was...
Yeah, so it was the sauce.
I don't remember. Okay, so, we're going to play this game where we pick... Each one of us pick the card for somebody else. You know the card game where you, like, put the card on your forehead and everyone else can see it, but you can't see it, and you have to, like, ask questions and everyone else gives you answers so you can figure out what fucking card's on your head? That's what we're going to do, but with Magic cards, and they're all creature cards, and it's only from M14 up. So M14, Theros, and Born of the Gods.
God, we're so dumb.
And fucking Hot Sauce kept... We have all the cards down on the table right in front of us, and about two or three times in the middle of the podcast, he would just, like, grab the card and look at it. He's like, what's this card doing here? So
I'm like a child.
Yes, he is. He needs to be constant.
Tell your five-year-old no, and then he's really good for, like, a half hour. And then after that, God, I just told you not to do that. So we are licking our cards. Hopefully
are we licking
more
them?
Than, no, we don't have to. But
okay, I mean,
hopefully they're not worth more than a couple bucks, because I don't want to really put much
time. Yeah, we're in the... Night City dungeon here, so I'm kind of sweaty. I don't need to lick them, but.
Or do you?
Nope.
Oh, look at that.
Nope. I didn't take a shower today. I did.
Alright, well, why don't we just have, like, one person go first?
Okay, quickness. Where's yours?
Yeah,
put yours up.
Lick that motherfucker up.
Is yours like his? Can you actually flip around your hat and leave it like that? I mean, that works.
I don't have a
little adjustable old school one.
Okay.
This is probably, like, a stretch fit. hat.
Okay, who's going first?
I'm going to go first.
Reich has Master of Waves.
Let's see. Oh, God. Am I mineral or mammal?
Mineral?
Mineral.
What?
No. Okay.
That's the greatest start ever.
If I were to go eat out with another planeswalker, would I pick up the bill?
No, you'd have your friends pick up the bill.
Okay. Yeah, you would. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Am I a Pegasus? Am I a, what is it, the...
You ask another question.
I want to guess the card.
Well, you can guess the card.
The Pegasus I can't attack alone?
You have to, what's that called?
What is it?
Loyal Pegasus.
Loyal Pegasus?
Nope.
Damn. I thought I had him on that one.
Denied. All right, Justin. Justin, I mean quickness.
A quickness has Nylea's Disciple.
Let's
so we'll just
see.
Keep going around in a circle until
yeah.
we get it?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, you're done for now.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, Reich can take a back seat. Just in the corner.
All right, I'm going to get kind of... My question is going to kind of be kind of boring. But am I humanoid?
Humanoid?
What's a humanoid?
Like a what?
Like a human.
But not a human.
Do you have
not,
arms?
Humanish-like. Like I have arms, legs. Mm. I look like a human. I don't have to necessarily.
As long as it's not
human.
Like a creature type, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Humanoid's
right.
not a creature type.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that something about you is very human-like.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I resemble a human, pretty much.
You
there, are there are qualities yeah. about
definitely
you.
Definitely qualities.
Okay.
Definitely qualities.
All right.
Go again. Give me another
one. Let's see. So, it's kind of hard to think of questions that don't pertain to the card. Am I wearing a dress?
I don't think I have a dress.
No?
You are...
A dress
You are dressed
robe.
In something.
You have something on, but
you're
not...
You're not naked.
You are dressed,
okay.
but you
okay.
are not wearing
You are not
pants
clothes.
I mean, how good do you look, though? Yeah, you look all right. Not really into that.
not my thing.
Let's see here.
I'm kind of into
I might be down for that.
Would I be a dog or a cat person?
Dog person.
Definitely dog person.
Dog person.
Dog person?
I feel dog person.
Dog person. You know the...
Yeah,
I don't
okay. want to
say too much.
I get you. Yeah, you would definitely
right.
be around dogs.
You got a guess?
Yes. So what, three questions
three
and a guess?
Three questions and a guess, yeah.
I don't know.
Who cares? Just, yeah. You want a guess?
Or Night City go. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
whatever.
I'll ask one more question.
Okay.
Do I like the sea or do I like inland, like mainland type stuff? Would I be more at home at the ocean?
You ain't going in the ocean. You're not going in the ocean.
Very good.
You might drown. I don't know.
Yeah, you'll.
I think
okay.
You might be averse
you
to
might,
the water.
You might, go maybe a couple
you know,
feet
you know,
into
you know,
the ocean.
You know what would really stop you? A moat. A moat would stop you.
Oh, they put water around the building? Ah, I can't do it. Can't do it.
My natural right. enemy.
Alright, City, hit it up.
Well, let's see
what you want to guess.
Take a stab.
I don't have enough information.
Okay,
yet.
Okay. Knife City.
Knife City has Imposing Sovereign.
We should put these cards like on our YouTube too.
So I'm gonna edit in like right before we start guessing. I'll tell them.
Okay.
So what's if I were to go to a party, would I bring beer for everybody to drink, or would I just drink all your beer?
You look like you're probably just gonna take it off yourself.
Yeah.
I actually think that you'd knock all over all of beer.
I wouldn't even get to drink them.
You just knock everybody's over. Everyone's trying to have a good time, and you're
like,
"But you can't."
No,
you just keep knocking over beers.
You're gonna be that person that gets there, and then like you drink them all before anybody has a chance to drink anything.
Yeah,
and I ruin the party.
Absolutely, dude. You ruin the party. Believe me.
Am I slow witted? Like you think like there might have been like some birth defects involved?
No,
you quit.
You're all there. You're all there.
I'm all there. Okay.
Yeah, you're not lacking in that department.
Okay.
You got a good thing going, bro.
Would people be annoyed by my status updates on like social media? Would it be like that person who like cries out wolf all the time? Like
that's a good one.
Oh, poor me. This happened. Or it would be like, fuck yeah!
I think I think you're the only one that would get a word in.
I'm the only one that would get a word in.
You would blot out all of Twitter and just be like, keep tweeting. Like,
and
no one
pay attention to anything.
No one else, yeah, you'd be like, whatever, little guy.
Fuck.
Yeah.
What, I'm stumped now. I'm trying to get one more.
You would delete their first post, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, they post on you, and then you're like, I don't like that one. But you'd probably let the other three on. Is that too much?
No, I think that's good. That's acceptable.
Let me know if you go, yeah.
You
want to take a guess?
Am I genders familiar?
No.
No, that's not a bad guess.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. Okay. They've gone to...
I haven't even been thinking any questions yet.
Hot Sauce has Shamble Shark.
I don't know if you guys get why I chose that card.
Oh, no.
Don't say anything.
So am I special? Am I a little retarded? Am I going to be like, are people going to be laughing at me?
A little bit.
I think people laugh.
All right.
They would not share their lunch.
Would you think I have a split personality?
I think you're a little confused on what's going on, but I don't.
You're maybe having a little bit of a identity crisis.
Yeah, a little
maybe?
Identity crisis, yeah. But nothing too serious.
Yeah,
I think
you don't have split personalities, but you're just confused on who you are.
I think you just don't know where you are at any time.
Oh, dude, Chimera.
Nope.
Ah!
Sorry.
That's good though. I like that one.
Right. Let me ask you that question. Yeah. Let's see. Do you think I'd get a date with any of the Planeswalkers?
No.
Not a chance. I don't even think they'd give you like a second glance walking.
Yeah.
I'd be
one of their like minions, basically, or something like
that. I don't think you would be a minion.
I wouldn't even work for them.
They would shun you.
They would be like, oh, yeah, no.
You'd be the janitor. You.
Maybe.
You'd be the janitor's janitor. Yeah.
But are people freaked out because I'm like I have recharge strength? You know, like I'm like I could be like a threat.
I can see recharge strength.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're not not OP, but you're definitely...
No, not any stretch of the
people
term.
Are afraid, like, if they, you know, just... If you get all excited in a big group, you might...
You're like a bull in a china shop, kind of
yeah,
excited.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they don't want to get you too riled
You get
up.
Excited in big crowds, and you go all retard, which is the clinical term.
That's a technical term.
That is fucking hard.
That is rough. I think we'll be here for a while.
I think we're gonna have to get more specific.
We'll get more specific as it comes in.
Okay, let's go back to Reich and let's see if we can give him like a little more.
Alright,
yeah. Or you can ask a little bit more specific questions.
Yeah,
this is kinda hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so
we should go to Block next time. Like Theros. That's
Theros. Let's see. Would I ever get a manicure or a pedicure?
No.
No.
I wouldn't say so. But
I don't think he's. I would say that you've never had a manicure or pedicure.
Never in my life.
No.
Right?
I think you would be.
Like we can see that you definitely don't have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you got some nails, bro. Some nails.
Would I live in like some dark, damp places? Is that like my favorable terrain?
Not dark.
But just like damp. Some damp areas?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, I mean like you'd get soaking fucking wet, actually. You get soaking wet.
You get soaking wet.
Yeah.
Your vagina, that is.
I'm getting soaking wet.
I like this. I like where this is going. Let's see. Would I star in The Little Mermaid?
You would. That's a great
I don't think
question.
He would star, but he would definitely be like supporting character.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like a flounder. Like a.
I think that the picture alone says... Little Mermaid, fine. A little more violent, maybe.
You're feeling
a little more
getting
violent.
The Little Mermaid vibe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if there was a Disney movie, it would be Little Mermaid. Then you'd be.
And you, I actually think that you. Let's just say that your power would say that you could be the main villain.
Yeah.
I'd say that you could be a. What do you think, Justin?
You wouldn't be like a little dirtly side character.
No. You'd
be
a threat.
I'd be a threat.
Yeah.
Would I be like someone of like authority in this like movie, or would I be like?
You're digging too specific.
Right. All right. Oh man.
You're nobody by yourself.
I'm nobody by. Oh, that is giving away.
Yeah, you are nobody by yourself.
I know what I am.
Say it.
A master of waves.
Yeah.
Love it. Corey gave it
sorry,
a
lot.
No, it's good. No, it's good. No, it's a while.
I don't want to take out.
We'll just say you failed because we had to wait to the end. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, quick.
Okay.
I'd say yours is a harder one.
Though. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
I'd say that the name, I wouldn't know the name, but you know.
You're not well known.
You know that it exists. You know that it exists.
You're around.
People see you, but they don't remember your name.
Yeah. You're there, but just in the background. Like
you're on the outside of the moat, for sure.
Yeah. You're not crossing the
castle. The whole moat thing is like throwing me
moat. You're a dog person. You could not get past the moat.
Yeah, you don't like water.
I don't like water.
It's not that you don't like water, it's just moat is your natural enemy. Like if there's one enemy, it's a fucking moat.
Yeah.
Fuck has an enemy as a moat.
You'll know. Okay, here's a Family Guy reference where they got Family Guy, they all got rich, and they say, oh yeah, how's everything going? He's like, oh well, we've got a moat.
Because
it keeps the Black Knight at bay. That's not a dead giveaway.
It's not a dead giveaway.
It's not, you know. That's what it should be.
Would I be somebody seen in the medieval times?
And fantasy medieval.
Fantasy.
Fantasy medieval?
Fantasy.
Well, you mean.
Not like
that's not real.
No, yeah, no. That might have been real.
Okay, hold on. Would I be part of a round table?
No.
You'd be.
They wouldn't let you in. You'll be outside of the moat. Yeah, let me in. Like, put the drawbridge down.
I know you guys are home. I see the lights down.
Do I travel?
Yeah, you travel. Like, you get around.
Yeah,
you get around pretty fast.
Yeah, you go. Yeah, I'd. You can definitely move around.
Yeah.
I'd ride you.
Yeah. You'd be a good nurse.
A good nurse?
A good nurse.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. What are you talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd be a good nurse.
Hey. Card description?
I would be a good nurse, but I wouldn't be a nurse.
That's not your main role.
No. Like in a pinch.
Yeah.
Like that's not your main job as a nurse.
Yeah.
But in a pinch, you could help out.
Yeah.
Nurse wise.
You guarantee help. Actually.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Guarantee.
No matter what, you're helping out.
If you were called upon, you'd help out a little bit.
Yeah.
For sure.
You wouldn't like save a life, but you'd pretty much stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Exactly.
Am I religious?
Yes.
You are pretty devout, I guess.
Well, I mean, the second word that it has a religious connotation to it.
Yeah, that's true.
Am I banisher priest?
No.
No.
Sorry.
Okay.
Coco.
Sorry.
Nice city, sorry.
Do I need a haircut? Like, am I...
No, you're good. I think your hair department's pretty good.
Am I hair department?
I think you have your hair exactly where you need to be.
You know, I don't look... It's good looking. You gotta get closer. You know, that's something else. I think I like that.
I'd touch that.
I mean, you might not know that. I didn't know that until I actually got up close right now. I'm like, oh, okay. Now I know it looks decent.
Okay. Would I be? Am I the more like long term relationship or like one night stand type of person?
You're both, I guess.
I would say it's more long term.
Long term?
Yeah.
You'd want to stick around.
You'd want to stick around.
I don't think you'd want to hit it and quit it.
Yeah. You'd be good the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time. Okay. It'd be better. It'd
be better if you
start sooner than late rather than later. But you'd be
beneficial
the whole time.
Stick around
in any circumstance. Oh, it's good. It's good. Ooh, it's good. Knocking over beers all day. Someone wants to drink their beer, and you're like, nope.
You're like,
all the time. Like, every
what?
Beer. Every beer.
God go, damn nope, it. What the fuck is it?
It's just a hard game to play.
It's rough.
But I feel like we're giving you some stuff. Some ammo.
Okay, so I knock over the beers.
Yeah, like as soon as someone comes out to grab a drink, just out of their hand.
Yeah.
And then the sooner the better.
Yeah, sooner the better.
Sooner the better.
Your hair's lovely.
My hair's lovely.
You can barely see it, but yeah, it is. Yeah. It is pretty nice. And you're kind of hot.
I'm kind of hot.
Yeah, and that kind of like weird.
I didn't
like,
see the thing is I didn't even know there was boobs on that card. I didn't know you had boobs until now. I'm like, oh, she.
Yeah. See, yeah, kind of hot and like kind of intimidating though. Is that too much?
No, that's fine. No, I think that's fine.
It is fine, but it's also not.
Well, not.
It's not keyword?
It's not keyword.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I don't want, because he said, I'm thinking like,
No, I'm not.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's okay, because it's, it's not a keyword.
The beers is throwing me off.
But it's a good one.
Yeah, it would be the moat, like a moat, okay, but I'm not like a night person or something.
You know what I was, am I in the medieval
on the
times?
Outside? Yeah, I think.
What was it?
Who knows?
I think you're around that era, I think.
Well, what'd you say?
Medieval times?
Oh, crap. Someone. I didn't look at it. I just.
Yeah, I would definitely say.
I say you could be for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go.
All right.
South.
Oh, I don't know.
No questions?
Shit. I don't know. All right.
Oh, yeah. Start asking more specific questions.
Okay, so is this a relevant card? Am I going to know this card?
Yeah, you'll know.
You would know this card.
Okay, cool. Good. Okay. And I'm going to say that I'm gonna be an asshole on land. Like, could I be in a village? You know what I mean? Like, would I just not? They would not let me in the village.
You'd probably be, like, in the forest, like.
Like, on the outskirts, like, looking in.
I figure it was a green from pretty much the get-go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was going to be a retard. It's going to be, like, either, like, a frostborn weird or something like that. I don't know. Would I get drunk?
You look like you're an angry drunk. Like, if you were to get drunk, like...
Like, I'm, like, already angry before I even drink.
Yeah, I think you're just angry all the time.
Yeah. I think you get progressively angrier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you would get your feelings hurt, and then you, like, you would just kind of be dumb and not take it, and then over time, you would just... The more insults, the more retard and bigger you get.
Like, them all.
You definitely stumble around a little bit if you're drunk, for sure.
Like, you know this card.
I know. I'm thinking, remember, like, the, like a Shamble Shark, but it's not.
Yeah, it's Shamble Shark.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't go there because it's, when I asked split personality, I was hoping you guys say, like, it would be two colors.
Okay.
Awesome. I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, awesome. You are a Shamble Shark.
Yeah!
I am a Shamble Shark.
I love it.
That was really good.
Thank you.
The Shamble Shark.
I probably should have picked a little more well-known card.
And the only thing is that it is a well-known card. Like, you won't know the name. I won't. I mean, maybe you will, but I definitely don't know.
It's definitely something that's not seen a lot.
Yeah, start asking more specific questions.
I can give you some hints, maybe. Let's say, like, if you got all your buddies with you, you're going to be better off. You're going to be helping, you're going to give yourself... more,
you'll be helping mom.
You're gonna give her, give her.
Am I a person to get a lot of buddies, or do a lot of people will just.
You want a lot of buddies before you even show up to the party.
Yeah. Like, if the more people, the more help you can do.
Yeah, and you'll do help no matter what, but more than.
If it's just you, you won't do that much help. But if there's a lot of buddies, then you'll definitely.
You'll do help. Like.
Am I a rodent?
No.
Yeah. Remember, you are you're humanoid. You're not wearing a dress, but you are dressed up in something, and it looks fancy.
You're humanoid-ish, yeah.
Humanoid-ish. Yeah. But also, a human, you could get past a moat.
That's like the whole moat thing.
Yeah. A straight human could get past the moat.
Yeah, yeah,
100% human could get past
the
moat.
Right, but you're not a human. You're humanoid, right? Yeah. You're human, kind of like a human, but...
Am I a centaur?
Ooh, that's direct.
It was a question.
You're a centaur.
Oh, yeah.
You're a centaur.
Am I? Am I known for battle?
No.
But your creature type does say you are, but you probably won't do a whole.
I mean, you're middle of the road. You're not like the all star. You're not going to come out the whole pack and start just mowing down people.
Yeah. But you also can hold your own.
After you help. With your nurse qualities, you're just kind of all right. Like you'll help out after you're done with the nursing, but you're not.
Fight, but you're not going to be like an all star.
Yeah,
in a battle,
you'll probably be more like fodder, probably.
Yeah.
You're only a one trick pony too. You only got one thing going. On.
Pony.
One trick centaur.
Yeah, don't focus too much on the moat. That's just because you don't have feet to swim. It's just
that was the whole centaur thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're part horse. Horses are stymied by the moat.
Let's see. Do I hate a color?
No. You're more you don't hate a color. You love a color.
Yeah.
I love a color.
Yeah. The color helps you nurse.
Am I what's
just say what do you think? Like you can describe my card.
Do not knock over my beer.
It is the 3/3 where I gain life for every green devotion thing.
Yeah.
Riley is Disciple.
That's it.
Riley is Disciple. You got it.
Dude. It's a, yeah. The man.
Okay. Two, two.
The man. For, what did he give away?
Yeah, it's 3-2.
Nah, who cares?
How about other?
Faith. Knife.
Okay.
Knife. You got this. Knife. You got this. You know this one.
Okay.
You know
this. Am I...
Have you played this?
Yes.
I've played this card?
I've played it, for sure. Have you played it?
Yes.
In one of my standard decks.
So, Reich has not played it, but Reich would play it.
I would actually, this is probably the card, you're the person that I would hate the most. Like, I would not want to, be around you, because you would just knock the beers out of
my hand. Let's just say you don't.
So true,
Let's
though.
Just say. Yeah.
You're knocking all my beers out of my hand.
Let's just say you don't like things to be fast or quick.
Yeah, they usually take, like, an extra step or something. You know?
Yeah, you.
My Metamine?
No. Try again.
An extra step.
Yeah, and it's like you want to, like, I want to drink that beer, but I gotta wait.
Yeah, like, oh man, I'm just it's on the ground now. That beer's knocked all over.
It's knocked over for, like, I don't know, like a turn or something.
Like, I gotta reach down and pick it up now. Yeah. Like, I gotta wait to pick it up.
So I gotta do it on my upkeep.
I'm the fucking upkeep, goddammit! Am I the black one drop, the 2-1?
No.
The tormented hero. Okay,
but no, because that's
you're on the right path.
You're almost an effect of the people.
But, yeah.
I affect other people way more than I affect myself.
Oh yeah. Yes. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. You don't do anything to yourself. You're drinking your beer, just like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. Everyone, pick up your beers, assholes.
Fuck. What's the 4-drop that has double black? Am I 2 colors?
No, you're 1 color.
So am I red?
No, you're not red.
Am I green?
No, you're not.
Red. White?
Yes.
Oh, God damn it, 100-handed one.
No.
Damn it.
Well, that was a good, that'd knock a lot of beers out.
Yeah. But that wouldn't...
You know. Do I tap things?
I would think that's kind of the
problem.
That's kind of the whole thing about knocking over beers.
I tap... Cure's Follower.
No.
That's not white either.
White, huh?
Come on, dude. Oh, dude.
God damn it.
I can't even give any more away. It's all there.
You just hate on my colors, man. You, I mean, you like all my dudes you hate on, because it's not like my specific colors you hate on. I'm just saying, like, my kind of deck, things. The kind of deck that I would play a lot.
Banisher Priest.
No. You're there, though.
You're near there.
Same deck, dude.
Yeah, God,
for sure. It's like a better card, even.
Like, you would...
Well, I don't know. It's like the same.
Like, my Stormbreath Dragon, like, you would be like, no, you just... I'm going to knock that beer out. You're gonna have to wait.
Well, you can still...
Oh, God damn it!
Very good against Stormbreath.
The fucking 2-1 that kind of come and tap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Opposing Sovereign.
Oh, that is so fucking sweaty.
Yeah, oh, that was fun.
Okay. Oh!
You get the beers, though?
Yeah.
Everyone tries to drink their beer, and you're like, not now. In a little bit, you can drink your beer.
Yeah.
Wait, what's next?
Oh, what do we have next?
Oh, I think we talked a little about brews that we got going on. I mean, I have a specific thing I want to talk about.
All right,
a standard
whip
brew.
It out, dude. Yeah.
Let me just
zip this down.
Yeah, like on okay, MTGO, I put together a burn deck, which I've had a burn deck for a while. It's but I've kind of just, since Burn came out, I kind of fine-tuned it a little more, because the metagame's, like, at that point where I think Burn is kind of viable, just because, like, everyone's playing, like, a lot of, I don't know, like, mid-range kind of game now.
Yeah.
And so I put together a red-white deck. There's actually, if you look around, there's actually a thing now. I was before Born of the Gods came out, I think it was like, what, M14, and I started putting a burn deck together with, like, a gauntlet, the Chandra's Gauntlet, the Pyromaster's Gauntlet, which is pretty much just allows you to, like, it does more damage every time you cast a burn spell.
It's like, but you double it.
Yeah, you double it up, but I ended up taking that out, because it's like 3 mana or 4 mana just to play that gauntlet.
Why are you playing the new guy?
But I haven't bought the new guy yet. There's a new guy in Born of the Gods, which is I think it's a Satyr. I don't know what it is.
Satyr Fire Dancer.
The Fire Dancer, where it says if you shoot a burn spell at a player, you can do that much damage that you hit the player for to a creature.
Yes.
Which is really good. I need to get some. They're like $6 though online, so I haven't bought any yet. But such all
online, because in paper they're like $1.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good online, because a lot of people, I think, are playing Burn now online.
Yeah.
So you pretty much,
because it's so cheap.
Yeah, it's a really cheap deck. It's like the Red Deck Wins equivalent of, like, price range. Like, But right now I'm playing for like my mana base. It's just red white. I'm playing like four of the temples, the red white temples, Fortitude or whatever they are. And then I'm playing four Guild Gates because I don't have the Sacred Foundries yet. The shock
land. How are prices of lands online, like all the shock lands and stuff?
They're like $6 still.
Okay, because here paper is like 10.
Yeah, they're definitely like a few bucks cheaper than paper, but
it's around the 5-6. It depends on.
Okay.
I think the mana bases are the only things that on MTGO resemble anywhere near the price they do on paper.
Yeah,
because a lot of other cards that aren't part of the mana bases, they kind of fluctuate between paper and online.
Yeah.
Like online, one might be really high and it might be cheap in paper, but you know, another card might be really expensive in paper but really cheap online.
But I think this is a cool deck just for like newer players too, if you're trying to get into standard, because a lot of the cards aren't, like a lot of them are common or like the rare ones are not that expensive, maybe like $1 a piece. So essentially the whole thing is built around red white. It's the main creatures. I only run like 8 creatures. I run 4 of the Ash Zealots just because they have haste and they're 2/2 that strike right away. And then I have 4 of the Chandra Phoenixes, just that interacts with the burn spells, because if the Chandra Phoenix, it's a 2/2 for a red and a colorless.
Yeah.
But they come in with haste as well, because you want to get as much damage on as early on as you can before they get their, like, you know, creatures to stop. And plus, the Chandra Phoenix has flying, and then it has the text where if, say, if it goes to your graveyard, it dies. Whenever you cast a burn spell that hits the player, it comes back into your hand, so you can play it again. So it's pretty much like it never...
Or that Planeswalker. It's really good.
Yeah, and it just never dies, and it's flying, essentially. You, as long as you have a burn spell, you can get it back. And then we play, like, 4 of the Lightning Strikes, which is a 2-mana, 3-damage burn spell. You can target a player or a creature. You play a lot of the 4 of the Boros Charms, which are really good to throw at their face.
Best. Yeah.
It's 4 damage at their face for red and a white mana, which is amazing.
Double strike if you can get on a Chandra Phoenix or Ash Zealot or something.
Yeah, if you want. It's still 4 damage.
Yeah,
it's but it's cool. And it has the upside of like making your creatures indestructible, so that's cool. But I mean, I usually primarily use it as just a throw at the face, just 4 damage just right away. Then you use 4 of the World Leader Helixes, which is a 4 mana. I think it's a red, white, and then 2 colors. And that's really good because it's a 4 damage burn spell that you can throw at the face or at a creature, and it gains you 4 life.
Yes.
So you're getting 4 life no matter what, pretty much unless it's canceled. But that's like kind of the main core. And then I also run, I think, 3 or 4 of the, what are they, the Skullcracks?
Yeah.
Just so people can't gain life. And
for
it does
Sphinx's decks and stuff.
Yeah, it
like
does
that.
3 damage to the player.
That's a great card. I mean, I know it's
situational. Yeah.
But man, if that thing comes out, it just fucks up strategy.
Like, it's good against Sphinx's Revelation decks. It's good against, like, the
fog
growing
decks.
Popular fog deck, like Maze's End, stuff like that. They, you know, they can't prevent damage anymore.
Even, like,
though.
In the black decks, when they play the Gray Merchant Asphodel, like, you can just stop them from gaining life. Like, sure, you'll take damage, but, like, in this kind of deck, you don't really care about damage. Your whole point is to throw as many spells at their face and kill them before they can kill you.
Yeah. I'm going to read the card really quick.
Yeah.
Because it's not a very popular card, I don't feel like. Like, I feel like you're going to hear about a lot of other burn cards before this one. But it's Skullcracks, 1 colorless and a red, instant. Players can't gain life this turn. Damage can't be prevented this turn. Skullcrack deals 3 damage to target player. If someone tries to do a life gain, whatever, then you can go ahead and turn that life gain into 3 to their face.
Yeah. So pretty much when they get their life gain, you do 3 damage.
Right. Fog effect. And you already mentioned it, but I mean, it just does a lot situationally.
Yeah, it's
it does
really
a ton
cool.
of work.
How much does your overall deck cost? Because you said you put
probably,
up the
if you don't pick up the main things, like, I really want to put Sacred Foundries in there, so I don't have those yet because they're too expensive. And then Mutavaults, like 2 Mutavaults.
Yeah,
Mutavaults are crazy bonkers expensive.
That's like $60 right there.
But they're like really good cards. Mutavault just to have, you know, an extra attacker or someone to sack against a demon.
Yeah.
But right now I'd probably say my whole deck, because the most expensive is probably like the Chandra's Phoenixes, which are like $2 a piece. So I'd probably be like $20.
Have you
Have
you thought of including Boros Reckoner?
I do have Boros Reckoners, but I don't play them. I should probably put them in the sideboard because I think they'd probably be pretty good.
Yeah, I think they'd be good, especially against like anything like green red monsters, anything with big, anything like
pack rats
or something. You can have it on the board, and they can come and attack. You just be like, okay, well, I need, you know, you could say you need 7 damage worth to kill them.
Yeah,
you know, you run your Boros Reckoner or something, redirect it to their face, and then run like a charm at their face.
Yeah,
I might did that in the last game.
Yeah,
we played
that. I played a stand game with Saucer, and he did that to me. But Boros Reckoner is probably a good one. That probably bump up the price a little more. I'm trying to keep it like kind of like just low $20 or like, you know, $30 at most.
Yeah,
where it's not too much money and it's still effective. Then you run like 4 Magma Jets just for the Scry alone. It's really good. which is it's only 2 damage, but I mean that's
that could scry 2 is mostly
the
why
scry
the card's
2 is amazing, cuz like you say, if you get an opening hand, you don't have that many lands, you have like, you know, you have 2 lands, so you know you can play a magma jet, you maybe holding on to a magma jet too, you can still dig for more lands, cuz I think this burn deck, it tops out, you don't want more than like 4 mana really.
Yeah.
I mean, any more mana than 4 is just gravy on top to throw more burns in one turn.
This deck is really something where the more lands you draw, the worse time you're going to
have.
Yeah,
you want like an opening hand, like you just want as many burn spells and like maybe want like 2 lands.
Mm-hmm. It's like an aggro strategy.
It's literally an aggro strategy.
You want to make it so where they can't stabilize, and in any deck that can stabilize against the burn deck, you know, once they do, they're just going to take over. You're not going to really be able
to. Hell yeah,
that.
How are you going to stop the fucking 6/6 coming out with a goddamn searing blood, you know, and all
the
shit you have left over in your hand, you go, well.
Like, the most damage you can do from one burn spell is 4 damage, you know, and that can't kill a desecration demon. You're going to have to throw 2 cards at it. You know
you got to do a 2-for-1. But, I mean, that's still okay for this deck. I mean, you can do a 2-for-1 if it's a crazy beast, you know, that's going to end up wrecking your day. But, I run 4 searing bloods, which are, I'm still on the wall about searing blood. It's cool because it can kill, like, some of the aggro guys and then still do 3 damage to their face.
Really good against the...
Don't have that. Faded Conflagration is probably another good one for maybe the sideboard if you need to. It's a pretty much a instant that does 5 damage to target creature or planeswalker.
And scry 2 on your turn.
The one that came out in Born of the Gods.
Yeah, that's a good one. I might put that on the sideboard, but like
for big creatures, right? You have a 5 toughness creature, and you're like, well, next game I need to figure out a way to kill it.
Lucranos, you know, it keeps any planeswalkers in check.
But and then I run like 4 of the just regular shocks, which are just more burn spells. My sideboard's pretty simple. I have 2 young GZs. I got the coolest card I like in this deck is it's in the sideboard because I don't feel like I need to play a main board in the first game. The Spark Troopers.
Oh yes.
Which is it's a 4 mana. I think it's like 2 white, 1 red, and 1 colorless. But it's a 6/6 or it's a 6/1 creature. I think it's
6/1.
But it has trample and lifelink. But the thing with it and haste. So you play it, but at the end of the turn, it goes to your graveyard. So it's like a 4 mana, 6 damage, 6 life.
It's not a graveyard spell.
It's literally a burn spell because it gets put into the graveyard at the end of the turn.
I think it's great.
I love that card. It's like it's won me so many games just to either take out a demon if they block it. Or just to get 6 damage to their face, and you pretty much gain another turn. Like, you get 6 health back, which is a huge deal when you're getting down the wire. And then, like I said, the young GZs, which are nice, the young Pyromancers, just to get more guys out. I'll usually bring out...
value out of your burn spells.
Yeah, I'll bring out the young Pyromancers just to get tokens to sack against, Desecration Demon to keep them tapped down.
But what do you think about... Chain of the Rocks in the deck. Coming in from the sideboard.
I forgot about that. Chain of the Rocks is the awesome card. I run 2 main deck. 2,
oh, okay.
2 Chain of Rocks in the main deck just to
deal with those things that you can't really
get
burn out.
Yeah, I think probably my deck, I'll probably make it 4 main deck just because there's so many, there's a lot of big creatures out there. It takes care of demons. It takes care of a lot of, like, the, you know, Pelucranos. It doesn't take care of Storm Breath, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, you have...
Like, Master of Waves, it hits Master of Waves, so I mean, that's a really good card. I'll probably put 4 in my main deck, but, I mean, this... I've had a lot of fun playing this on Moto, though. The only bad matchup I'd probably say is probably Mono Black, just because the demons, they have so many, and they pick your hand apart. Like, Thoughtseize is huge. Like, you get Thoughtseize, that's a huge deal, because you really have all that... Most of your gas in your opening hand is what you want to look for, and then they'll usually board in what I find is like duress. They'll have like dot seizes, duress. They'll have Lifebane Zombie doesn't hit anything in your deck, but like it's just that kind of like that. You don't get that card advantage. You don't have a way to get card advantage.
Lifebane Zombie does hit something in your deck.
I hit
Spark Trooper.
Yeah, Spark Trooper. But I mean, this deck for like $20 or whatever, dude.
Yeah.
It is so fun to play. Like, and people get so mad because like when you like you have like freaking you know Searing Blood, you just like you have like have 3 Searing Bloods in their hand. You're playing aggro guy. You like just you know knock out all their dudes and do like 9 damage to their face. And, like, you just follow up with, like, a Boros Charm for 4 and just, like, wreck them.
Amazing. And I think it's a really good deck for any beginner because the whole goal of the deck is kind of aggression burn. It's a very simple strategy that you know, you only have a couple, like, big decisions to make on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a super interactive deck, like, to play against, because all you're doing is pretty much just throwing spells at their face. Like, a lot of times, like, I'll just ignore, like, a lot of the creatures.
Yeah.
And just keep throwing spells at their face until they're dead. So, I mean, it's probably not the best deck, for fun to play against, but, I mean, it works.
Oh, yeah,
It works pretty good, so.
And not a lot of people are expecting it, you know.
Yeah.
Nowadays, a lot of people are expecting, like, creature strategies and stuff like that. And when you come, like, with spells, like, a lot of their creatures don't really mean much, you know, and then it comes down to a race, and you're racing. Can your burn spells do more damage quicker than their creatures can?
Yeah.
And usually, since you don't have to worry about summoning sickness on your burn spells, you know, usually you most likely win the race.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of, like, burn decks. Like, I always wanted to, like, have, like, a standard burn deck or, like, you know, like, make a modern burn deck or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it is about throwing red spells at, like, people's faces. It's so fun.
It's a good difference from what you normally play.
Yeah, like, yeah. I play a lot of creature-heavy stuff, and now it's, like, I'm just doing spell heavy, but I mean, it's fun. There's some matchups that aren't like that good against like mono black and like some of the control decks where they just, you know, they have a million dispels. But I mean, it's
or they
fun.
Just have Sphinx's Rev, so you know they can Sphinx's Rev for three, and then you know.
And the other two cards I have in my sideboard that are really big are the Assemble the Legion.
Oh yeah, yeah
I bring
yeah.
those in against like control decks where
mono black especially.
Yeah, so I have just many creatures as I can, or you know, just one tokens as I can, just to either get in for damage if they like keep dispelling all my stuff, or just you know, to
so like an alternate win condition on its own.
Yeah,
and then ability. Yeah, it's not a way to interact with it that's going to take over the game.
But yeah, I mean, there's probably lists out there you can check out that probably people have better lists of. But I mean, it's a fun deck if you're trying to you know just get into standard.
Are you on Tapped Out, Rick?
No, I don't have a Tapped Out account yet.
Okay.
I should get one.
I was going to say, we could, when we do talk about decks, I could put the link to the deck in the notes.
We really do.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a good resource.
It is good. But yeah, I'll probably eventually want to take this, like, I don't know. It's good red-white, like it is, but I might want to splash blue for, like, the guild, what's not the guild mage, the guy that makes the spells cost, like, one mana less or whatever.
Not Gutter Snipe, it's Goblin Electromancer.
Yeah, the Electromancer, just to cut down the casting cost on some of the spells. But that might be too much to put in the deck, because I'm already kind of, I have as many burn spells as I need to be able to win.
You might be weakening the deck.
Yeah, like the other deck that I was playing the other night that was pissing me off is a Millbeck.
Oh, really?
They kept milling all my shit away, and they would, like, do a Crypt Incursion, like, gain, like, 4 health from my, like, guys, but, like, it was just... It was ruining me, like, losing all my burn spells.
Do you remember, like, anything different from my deck that he had that was...
He didn't have any, like, the big creature where it's, like, X hermetic cards.
Consuming Aberrations?
Yeah, he didn't have any Aberrations. He had, like, Jace, which was a big pain in my butt.
Yeah.
And just that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, and he had that cipher, the mill cipher, where if you're trying to get in, you'd have to mill, like... 3 cards or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was the only other matchup that I had. Like, I was killing, like, aggro, like, red-green, couldn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
Like, I almost felt bad for the red-green players, because, like, that's my deck I love. That's, what I play in standard in cards, but, like, they had no way to, like, deal with me, because it's, like, I just completely ignore their creatures and just go to their face, and then they'd be dead. Like, they can't gain life, really. I mean, they have the Cursor of Crew for X to gain 1 life, maybe every
other
turn. That's
1 life, because they have a land.
But it just wasn't enough for all my burn spells.
I think any deck that can gain card advantage on you is pretty much...
Yeah, any deck that can gain card advantage or take cards out of my hand.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the worst matchups.
Anyone else have anything that we've been brewing?
I built that Humans. I forget if I talked about it last
time. Yeah, I think you
if I did talk about it,
we were just
my results from... I'll cut it out if we've already talked about it.
No, we talked about... You were getting advice last time.
Yeah, you were trying to get advice.
What do you want to do?
Oh, okay. So I haven't really talked to you guys, or at least on the podcast, about... I ended up building it on Modo, and it is doing pretty fucking well. I think I may need some more... instant spells, so I can trigger more heroics.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part... my only real, really difficult matchup was Mono Black, and, like...
I think anyone's matchup is Mono Black.
Yeah. Once they get out the demon, like, I can only sacrifice so much before all I have left is one Xanthrid Necromancer and just all zombies.
And that's only one demon.
Zombies.
Yeah, if they bring out a second Desecration Demon, it's pretty much game over at that point. If you can't get rid of it.
Yeah, if I can't trigger... if I can't trigger Agent of Fate's heroic, then I'm, like, screwed. So, I mean,
pretty much the two desecration demons pretty much nullify your Zephyr Necromancer.
Yeah.
So you sacrifice one, it comes back, then you have to sacrifice that guy that comes in to tap the second one down.
Yeah, and it's like, do I sack one of my tokens, or do I sack one of my guys so I can just bring back a token? And so I think I need some more triggers, heroic triggers.
Yeah.
Stuff to enable heroic. But, like, every other game I played that wasn't mono black,
pretty decent,
well, I was pretty fucking decent. Like, I wasn't stomping all over people, but, like, you know, people, my ideal draw, like the perfect curve and everything, you know, people just couldn't keep shit on the board because I would banish a priest there, or I would Agent of the Fates, or I would just have the Phoenix Leader out. Mm-hmm. Is that the double white guy?
Double white, yeah.
Yeah.
Does that
grows,
do work?
Grows all your other guys.
Oh, that definitely does work.
Okay, good.
Just because, like, I don't do anything. I only trigger these things in response most of the time. Like, when they try and get rid of them, or when I'm attacking into or blocking and one of my guys is going to die, I do almost everything in response. Usually except for the Agent of the Fates trigger, because they'll just sacrifice whatever's already going to die.
Yeah.
So I do that, you know, pre-combat most of the time. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like, all my guys are kind of small, but once I get that fucking Phoenix Leader and start pumping him, like, everything just starts getting crazy.
Right.
And I've been, like, throwing in one card here, one card there, just to mess with it, like the Cavalry Pegasus,
yeah,
just to give all my guys flying. And I don't know if it's necessarily worth a spot, but I've just been kind of messing around with, you know, one card here, one card there, testing the waters. But I think I'm definitely liking the style of play. But I just haven't nailed down, like, the perfect deck, you know, the perfect 75-card list. So I'm going to keep messing with it, and maybe you guys, we could, you know, go on Moto and fucking just play test, because I know, right, you got the two red decks, right?
Yeah, I have red deck wins, and I have the burn deck.
And then the Quickness has mono black.
Mono black.
And is that it?
For standard, pretty much, yeah. Okay. I have a couple modern decks after that. Well, right. I have my, like, Is It Blitz deck. You know, I kind of like the little brews that threw together. I have a mono red deck, too, but...
Well, I want to, like, you know, I just don't want to play against, you know, top-tier decks. I want to play against, you know, decks that no one's played with because they might give me trouble, and I'll be able to formulate a way to deal with that if I ever run into it.
Oh, that's very similar, bro.
Yeah.
My Newts deck, I got it completed. I played Reich when it was like a dollar. And then I spent another $2-3 on it, and then everything fell into place. And then I played, did I play you? I don't know. Either way, I've been playing online just on like a little bit tournament practice, and then a little bit of just for fun. And I have... Honestly, I have not lost a game, I don't think, yet.
Wow.
Since I've started it. But, I mean, I totally could lose a lot of games. I mean, it's not that good.
Yeah.
But so far, I think I've... You look at your matches, you know, I mean, you can see your whole history or whatever, and all, like, the last nine are wins.
Nice.
Or whatever it is, so... It's been good. It's been people conceding pretty much right away. So, not right away, but once the combo gets started, you know, they run away. But also, I love it when they Thoughtseize me, they always take away the Angelic Accord.
Yeah.
That's fine, but that's not like my...
That's not the card that kills you.
Yeah, that's a good win condition, like, way later, but, like, I don't usually hit that. I usually try to just keep bringing the Newt back and forth, and they always bring that out. I'm like, yeah, good. I want that. You know, I always think, oh, that's they're taking this card, and they always take that because they get freaked out by it. And
you're like, ah, oh, shucks, you failed me.
Exactly.
that's like my red green deck. Like, if they Thoughtseize you, like, and they take one of your big creatures, but you know, they really should be hitting like the removing your
mana dorks.
Your mana dorks, because that's like the thing that ends up killing you. It's not
not
Pelucranos that kills you. It's the mana dorks that get Pelucranos on like turn.
Usually,
three
it's easy to deal with the Pelucranos on turn four on curve.
Yeah.
But when you're bringing in on turn three, or turn two, possibly, if there's some situation you can do that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like a devotion thing. But it's definitely the mana dorks. Like, in my deck, like, it's not the big creatures that will eventually kill you if you don't deal with them, but it's like just the turn advantage I get from having those mana dorks is what ends up.
Yeah, I recommend that completely. Whenever I play, I can tell I'm playing someone that has a little bit of experience when they remove something that's on my curve.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of removing something that's powerful, they remove something that, like, what they, the mana they see on the board is what can cast it. They're not worried, like, they're not worried if I can pull another land. They're like, no, he can cast it now, that has to go.
Yeah.
And even if I, by chance, pull the whatever mana I need and then I can cast that card, they're not worried about that. They're just worried about what's going to come out next turn or the turn after. Like, and I think that's what beats me, you know, or whatever.
I do have to say, I played my mill deck a lot online, and I can see where taking away their dork would, and a mana dork is something that, a creature that produces mana for any new players.
Like an Arbor Elf or the Sylvan Caryatid.
Elvish Mystic.
Caryatid's good to get
it's right. I don't think Arbor Elf is.
It's not standard legal.
Yeah, sorry, the Mystic.
But I take away their threats because I figure I'm going to get there anyways, and I mostly control in the early game, so I don't have any chump blockers.
Your strategy is a little different because you're not aggressive like that.
Yeah, my strategy is definitely different.
Aggressive. We want to get it out there like now.
Yeah, exactly.
So that would make sense for your deck.
Well, I figure they're going to get to put something fat out before I can get my like five drops going. So I might as well just take them out of their hand. They can get their mana dorks out or whatever they want, because I did that for a long time. I figured, oh, I'll take this out, and then it'll take them longer to get all their big shit out. And it was like they always hit it anyways. They got enough lands, they whatever it was, and it's like it really didn't matter if I took out their dork.
Yeah. For a control, what would you pull?
If I was thought seizing somebody on turn one, let's say.
You thought seize a red green.
And red green, let's say they have like two mana dorks, like a Storm Breath and a Plukernos.
It definitely depends
like
on how many lands they have in their hand also.
Yeah. So like, or let's just say I'm playing against somebody. So like,
He got his perfect draw.
My main targets are card draw. I don't want you to have card draw. Card advantage is huge. Like, if you can get more cards on me, I have to spend one.
So you would take the Planeswalker then.
So say my opening hand was like, two land, like a scry land, a regular land, or like, let's say two lands,
yeah.
Arbor Elf, and then Elvish like, Mystic. An Elvish Mystic. I love my Arbor Elves.
Yeah.
An Elvish Mystic, and like, say, like a Pelucranos,
Domri or
Courser, and like Domri or something like that. What would you take?
Pretty much what I would take Domri.
That's card advantage.
That is card advantage. Domri allows them to kind of see what's coming up, so he can sculpt his hand a little better in the board state, and also allows him to fight if I have any creatures out, and allows him to fight them. Usually red green has bigger creatures to begin with, so I don't really want him to take out any blockers or early defense I have laid out.
Well, it's not like, okay, he doesn't have the Planeswalker. What do you take?
So like, say I have, yes.
He has a perfect draw, all creatures, no Planeswalkers. What do you think?
I would probably go with Storm Breath since that's protection from white and it's flying. Because they're both around the same power level. It's just Storm Breath has evasion. They both have monstrosity.
I guess for your deck that'd be pretty important. Yeah. You can't like.
Just talking in like a general sense.
Okay.
You know, if it was my control decks, I'd probably go a little bit different. You know, I'd probably take the Pelucranos out right away if I do like a turn one Thoughtseize, just so I can buy myself an extra draw or two. To draw into like a Sphinx's Rev, a Supreme Verdict, or something.
What about
like that.
What do you do when the dragon comes up on the board?
I gotta have a Supreme Verdict.
Supreme Verdict. That's the only way to deal with it.
That's the only way to do
red
it.
Control.
I have a lot of.
Yeah, ways. Just because I mean that's what I was thinking. If why wouldn't you take the dragon if you could with a Thoughtseize rather than because you can't do it with Attention Sphere, but you could do.
Like if I didn't have a Supreme Verdict in my opening hand, I would probably take the Storm Breath. If I do have one in my opening hand, I would take the Pelucranos, so I have you know, extra time to build my hand up to where I want it to be. But Thoughtseize, like, I was kind of toying around. I kind of want to do, like, a little bit on Thoughtseize because I think that there is no perfect target. There is no right way when to Thoughtseize or what to Thoughtseize. It's more about, like, matchups and how the board state is and, like, Burton, like, doing things like turn one Thoughtseize versus, like, say you're playing a red-green deck versus, like, a turn two or turn three Thoughtseize where you know, they might not have a Domri Raid in their opening hand, but they draw one into on turn two or turn three, and they can play that turn. So I want to, you know, nab it out of their hand or something like that, and they draw into it.
I would most likely take whatever their four-drop is.
Yeah, four-drop's huge.
In the red-green, because, you know, let's say they got three lands. They got a what's the two drop hexproof?
But isn't the only four drop
Oh, in the your deck,
Pelucranos?
Pelucranos, and then, yeah, pretty much with only four drop.
Pelucranos or the dragon.
Mm-hmm. Gorclan Rampage is a four drop, but I don't really play him as he's more of a pump spell.
So I would take either of those just because I don't. Because you're going to get your Pelucranos out on turn three, or your dragon out on turn four.
Don't take the clan because you can counter him if he does Tether Treader Blood Rush him and stuff like that.
There's a lot of ways
to get rid of him.
Like, the perfect hand for, like, red-green would be, like, you turn one, you play Forest, play Elvish Mystic. Then turn two, you play another land, and then you tap your Mystic, and you play a Courser.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, the next turn you play Paluk, and then after that it's like Stormwrath, and then
I think, like, in the red-green deck, I think the two main threats I'd be more worried about is Domirei and Courser. I think those two just, like, they're such big threats, and they take advantage of the board immediately.
Yeah.
That, like, I think there's so many ways to deal with just a creature. That, like, you know, you have Devour Flesh. You have so many ways to deal with a creature, but with the Planeswalker.
Yeah, turn two Domri is, like,
just
the
like
best.
Courser, being able to see top, and then the interaction between Courser and Domri.
Yeah.
I kind of want to break those two up.
Yeah.
Take one out of the equation.
If he didn't have Domri or Courser in his hand, I would just take out whatever
the biggest threat he could get out first. Exactly.
Even if the 5-drop is a lot scarier than the 4-drop, let's say, I would still take out the 4-drop just to buy me a fucking another turn to, you know, draw into my removal or my counter magic or fucking whatever it is.
I think what I want to do for, like, next episode, I'm going to put some stuff together on Thoughtseize, like, you know, get all our deck lists together, and then we can go around. It's like, okay, so what would you think, like, say you're playing against my control deck, you have a Thoughtseize deck. Like, a couple examples of a 7, your opening hand. Like, what would you go? Like, what identifying the major threats in each deck, and what would you do? And then when would you Thoughtseize? Would you always Thoughtseize on turn one, or would you wait? Because I know, like, in control decks, I kind of want to Thoughtseize before I go into, like, a huge threat or before I tap out. Like, I'll Thoughtseize you and be like, okay, the path is clear. Elspeth, up one. I'm all tapped out. Go. Like, I know you can't do anything to Elspeth. You might be able to play, like, a hasty creature or something and get in, but now I have blockers or something like that. So just to kind of when to Thoughtseize, when not to Thoughtseize, what do you take with Thoughtseize?
Yeah. I hate Thoughtseize.
Well, your deck buys you a lot. Your deck can reliably buy you more time than my deck can.
Yeah.
My deck has good...
My deck.
Okay. I'm going to tell you to make this song, too.
Sphinx's Revelations. So, like, those are, like... Without those two cards, control would not be in standing.
Yeah.
The control decks would be, like, Grixis, where you play, like, Downfalls, Rakdos Returns, Dreadbores. That would be the control deck.
Yeah.
So,
well, what else can we talk about? So let's touch on, there's been some information leaked, but not a lot of it out there, that there is going to be a multiplayer, like, multiplayer draft set coming out. It's not going to be, like, part of the standard, like, expansion block type of thing. It's going to be,
is
like...
Is it going to be, like, with a board game, and you lay the board game in the middle, and you have, like...
Like shoots and ladders,
like shoots and ladders, or like Sorry or something like that, and we can
like that.
And it's
gonna be like
figurines and
spin the Planeswalker.
Oh,
yeah,
dude. And then what do you do? Kiss who? Do you kiss people? Like you kiss the cards? Do you kiss?
I don't know, but I'm gonna invite your mom over in. We're gonna figure it out.
Like Twister version of Planeswalkers.
Yeah,
left hand.
I'm gonna edit
left
that.
Hand
That's
as
fucking
Johnny.
Stupid. So, Conspiracy is the new, like, what would you even call it, non-standard
little fun set?
Yeah, I don't know anything about this thing.
They're similar to Unhinged and Unglued. Pretty much it's a multiplayer draft format where you draft cards like normally, but when you play with two or more people, or like three people or up, pretty much.
So basically it'd be perfect for us because, like, four people, a four-person game, and we could just fucking have lots of fun drafting with it. And I guess 17 or 15 or X amount of cards from the set are going to be standard in, like, Legacy and whatever. Mm-hmm. Some of them are reprints.
Yeah, they're going
to not going to be, like, super bombs or nothing, but it's going to be, you know, some old cool
that's
shit to play with that we've never played with. And there's one card where, you know, I don't remember the exact text, and I'm too lazy to fucking look it up right now. But it's like, you know, if you draft this card, you know, if... You know, you draft the card and then pass. And then so on one of the next picks, you can take two cards and then put that card back. You know what I mean? So instead of like just taking one card, you can put it back.
The cards you draft.
So it's still the same amount of cards that you're passing along, but you get to you just take two out of it.
Yeah, you could.
You're just swapping.
Yeah,
interesting. It's kind of like a placeholder card. So if you draw into some, if you get past something better, you can like, oh, I don't want
someone else can take that card.
Someone else
can do that on the same next one.
So it's just kind of like a weird type of.
I've never heard of that mechanic before. That's kind of weird. I wonder if they've ever done that before.
Yeah.
Have they done that before?
That is an actual card.
That's an actual card.
Oh, is that a reprint?
I don't know if it's going to be a conspiracy, but it's in an actual set.
Okay. Well, yeah, so it's just going to... It's not for, like, standard playable stuff.
There's, like, a card that came in one of these sets. Not conspiracy, but, like, a card that cost a million mana to cast. Yeah, there's some fun things you have to do to get that card to work, but you win the game on the spot with that.
Does it say, like, a million?
It's all the zeros.
One million.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
One million islands.
Oh, my God. That's kind of cool.
There's a card where it says you get to, pull a pack, and you add an extra pack to the draft pool. When you draft it.
Hey, you know that one card, that million whatever? They have that white-blue, that one that can't be blocked by something greater, power greater, three or more, whatever. Anyways, when you they exile the card, whatever, and then you gain life.
Yeah.
So you can just say, I gain a million life.
Exactly. Well, I would
win. How interesting.
Yeah, you gain their mana.
Infinite life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So you just can't lose.
I think it'd be fun if we like went in on a box together and we just drafted it until the box was gone. Like, just it would be fun. Like, we're not gonna get value. We're not gonna be able to sell the cards.
No value. What is this?
I love spending money.
Fun value, not like value.
Like I was telling, not tangible. I'm not buying or going in on a box unless they have the cool basic lands like Unhinged. Or Unglued.
Because I refuse. I need the EV.
Exactly. I want to pull, like in the Unhinged, I think it was, there's a basic land. It's a full art land, right?
And right.
It's a foil one. $80.
Right now?
Yes.
Hmm. What is EV for beginners who don't know?
And hot sauce.
And hot sauce.
Estimated value.
Okay.
So pretty much.
I thought that was like from that one movie. Fucking Wall-E.
25? Oh.
No.
Don't ruin
Wally. Is that Evie? So, isn't that one of the girls?
Female character? Yeah.
I'm already just going crazy and just ruining it. Oh, yeah, whatever.
Johnny Five. Yeah.
Don't pay attention to me.
How many kids do you have?
Yeah.
Well, there's an actual website where it will give you estimated values for like draft 8-4s, like Swiss. Standard daily events and stuff, and it goes based off your like win percentage. So it takes like your win percentage, the average expected value out of a pack. It's like to say you get a pack, you win a pack, and you open it. Like it's usually around like $1. Like on Moto, it's about like a ticket or two. It's the expected value on a pack. So it takes all that together, and then you know it pretty much on Moto, you're always losing value except you play when you play in the daily events.
Those so pretty much times. Like, are you going to make your money back in value of cards or make more? And usually you have negative EV because you're not making your money or tickets back. So going in on a box would be negative EV because...
Hell no, we always make a negative EV because this is Magic. You don't make any money in Magic.
I'll just start pulling like, why are these Tarmogoyfs in here? But I'm pulling them because somehow I pull money cards all the time. I don't know. Or I'll just add them in when no one's looking.
That's why I'm so much about the value, because I know if we do anything, you're going to fucking pull all the value.
Hey, if you want to draft for EV, I'm game.
No. There is no such thing as drafting for EV. That's like, completely wrong. You don't draft for value. You draft for fun.
I do.
Yeah, secret box.
Draft
fuck
for
it.
Fun.
It's only money,
draft
right?
For fun.
Just make it rain.
You do.
So I want to definitely
play. We'll probably look at a box. That seems pretty cool. If I'll look it up into this more conspiracy stuff.
Like,
that sounds cool.
I'll bring in draft
out.
Sets.
Yeah.
I'll buy draft sets to draft. We all want to draft. But I don't know about going in a box.
What? There's 36 packs in a box.
What? How much is the box?
Probably be like $100.
No,
that's more than that.
More?
I've seen things saying around $199 for a box.
Oh, fuck that! Just kidding.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I mean,
that's the thing. So, like that thing, all these boxes, like Unhinged, Unglued, things, they were more than the average box.
I'll just steal them.
Just because they're special and like.
I'll get a job at Walmart. steal them?
They do have boxes at Walmart.
No, but I saw one thing saying the expected MSRP was $199.
Well, fuck that.
Yeah, it totally changes everything. But
all right, ignore the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. I'm gonna edit that up. So, I mean, anything else you guys want to talk about? Anything you want to touch on?
Touch on?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, not in this room. Well, other places, yeah, I do like touching things.
What was your mom's address
again? No!
One of the only things I want to say is, you know, we really want people, you know, that are listening to send feedback in. Let us know what they want to, you know, hear, what they expect, anything we can change. You know, be looking out for a website. We'll probably announce it on the podcast when it goes live and on, you know, Twitter and the social media and stuff like that. Always check out our YouTube. You know, please like, follow, all that stuff. You know, we really appreciate it. We're trying to grow this as much as possible. We'd like to take it somewhere. Obviously, we do it for fun, but it'd be nice to have fun and go somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, we appreciate anybody who does listen. And, again, please follow. Any suggestions, just let us know. We'll cater to most of what you guys want. Obviously, you know, it's our podcast. So we're going to do what we want still. But, you know.
That is it for episode 3. We are actually recording on a somewhat regular basis, and all the uploading issues have kind of been smoothed out. So we're going to be uploading to MTGcast and YouTube on a somewhat regular basis. So check us out on all the media outlets,
yeah.
Twitter, Twitch, YouTube.
They'll obviously be in all the show notes.
Yahoo, so. GeoCities.
Watch for billboards in your city. You know. Doing a big advertising campaign coming out worldwide.
The air.
Yeah, we'll have our
writing.
Air writing, you know, little banners like Geico.
Yeah. We're going to be kissing babies everywhere. And shaking hands and stuff. But, you know, we really appreciate you listening. We're doing this to entertain ourselves, but if anybody can learn anything out of it, like Justin was saying, if you get anything out of it, please let us know, and or anything you want to hear, because we just want to give back to the community that has given us so much fun.
That we've stolen so much from.
Yeah, we've stolen so much from over the past, what is it, 8-9 months or whatever, however long it's been.
It's been like a year now.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a year.
Oh, man, we should have like an anniversary party or something. But anyways, this has been episode 3 of If Lance Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
I'm a Quickness.
This is Reich.
Hot sauce.
And we'll catch you on the flip side. Peace. You saw your card?
I wasn't paying attention. I just flipped it once and I go over and like just it had nothing and I'm like, I just saw it.
I'll pick another one. But so
idiot.
I'll just cut that out.
That was just like,
rewind.
What is this doing here? Oh, I'm so dumb.
Did you just look at the fucking card again?
Oh, my lord.
God damn it, Jace. I'm not going to use your name. Jace.
Sit on your hands.
I didn't see what it was.
Sit on your hands.
We're trying to do a next segment here, and Jace keeps ruining it.
I'm like an emu again. A memory of an emu is like every half hour, he sees the person that's been there all day and goes, who the fuck are you? A memory of an emu only lasts for, I think, like 20 minutes.
Like a goldfish.
And then
right?
It resets, and then he goes, like, where am I? So, why are you looking at him right here? I'm the mascot.
That's your new name, dude.
Damn, Lord.